Genesis Absolute Rally, powered by the Kielder Works team. Cordless tools tailored for the world of motorsport.
Hello everyone, welcome to Absolute Rally, Episode 3, Season 13. Yes, we're here. We're here with, of course, with the help of Kielder. Have you picked up yet on what the rally car is? I keep mentioning it, I'm going to mention it all the way through the podcast. We have got the mugs. The mugs look amazing. I've seen the designs. They look really, really exciting. You need to pick up on what the rally car is leaving service on the stings that mention Kielder. You'll be able to pick up on it. And you will win a mug with a design on from We The Terrors of that particular car. And they look cool. Ryan Champion has already put his application in. he was very, very quick to get his in. So there you go. Jack Benny didn't bother because Ryan Champion was that quick. He got it in on the group chat.
It was about 2 minutes after the podcast went up.
I know. Well, you know what he's like. He's competitive, isn't he?
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, have you had many correct answers? But
we have not. I'll be honest, out of all the answers we've had in, yours was the only correct one. So and please don't say what it is, obviously.
I'm currently drinking coffee out of a We The Terrors mug, so...
Yeah, okay. You don't get one, just so you know.
I hope one week that the rally car noise is secretly going to be disguised and it's actually going to be a Lexus or an Austin Mini Metro.
Oh, how good would that be?
That would be good.
The only thing is, the idea is, and this whole marketing thing that we came up with is that the mug will be the car. So that means that Dan at We The Terrorist has got to do a really, really crap design of like an Austin Princess or something like that.
You could do a little cartoon of Partridge's face instead. That'd be good.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good. To be fair, we backed off on the Partridge stuff last week. I thought you did really well. The Focus stuff didn't really get picked up on, Jack Benny.
No, it's a bit too niche, maybe.
It niche doesn't even cover it. Jesus. Anyway, without further ado, obviously you've heard them both now. I normally introduce them. We've got Ryan Champion. Hello, Ryan Champion.
I'll say hello officially now.
Yeah, say hello officially. And hello, Jack Bengen.
Hello, how are we doing?
We're all right. I think I said this to you before, Jack Bengen, before we started recording. We need to make sure that this week doesn't last nearly 2 hours.
It seemed quite popular with everybody except you.
Yeah, but do you know, always to tell you why, right? And I'm glad you said that, Ryan Champion. Is that you've got to remember, I'm in every section of it, so I actually have to listen to every section of it to put it all together. And I got bored of my own voice.
That just makes it more unbelievable that people enjoyed it.
Oh, hang on a minute, Jack Bengen. Jack Bengen, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, in case you're unsure, he's on his period at the moment. If you follow him on Twitter, you'll notice that he's lashing out. I spent
today posting pictures of 306 Maxis. I don't know how you can be any more happy than that.
In gravel spec.
Yeah, which is ugly. Brilliant. That's pig ugly.
No, that's cool. Brilliant.
No, I'm sorry. No.
Cool.
Gravel spec, no. No. Tarmac spec, yes. In fact, do you know what? I think, right, that probably the F2 car, probably the Golfs, I kind of like in gravel spec. But I think definitely the French cars, there's a reason.
Just because it's your train set, you still outvoted 2-1 on this.
Yeah, but it's not my train set. It's never been my train set. It's what do they call it? It's an open house policy, isn't it? It just so happens that I can cut you off whenever I want to.
It's just you have the switch for the train set, is that it?
Basically, I can unplug it at any given time. So there you go. Boys, we are back together. Anyway, all that aside, it was Rally Finland the weekend, and I did tweet out about this as well. I've tweeted out quite a bit recently, but I did tweet out about this. I completely and utterly allowed myself to become a fan. And what I mean is by that is that when we do this, whatever this is, you always get sucked in. There's always bits you get told kind of, oh, and he's doing this and he's doing that and this off the record. You can't do this. You can't do that. And you kind of get sucked into the kind of the undercurrent of what rallying is. I got back to being a rally fan on Finland. And what I mean is by that, I just kind of completely and utterly engaged with WRC Plus. And on Friday, and I watched it on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And the power stage is possibly one of the best power stages I've watched. And do you know what, Jack? I just completely and utterly allowed myself to just be that childlike fan again.
There's no better place to do that than Finland, though, is there? It's just everything that rallying should be, isn't it, really? Or a lot of what rallying should be. It's just flying rally cars, jumps everywhere. And obviously, there was a lot more of them this year, thanks to the organisers, inserting some of those sort of artificial-type jumps as well. But you know, I think that's even harsh to call them artificial, really, because they do the same job, don't they? They make the cars look absolutely spectacular. And a friend of the show, Seb Marshall, uploaded a video of him and Hayden Padden a bit earlier on. If you've not seen that yet, that's on Hyundai's Twitter page. Wow, just absolutely phenomenal pictures.
Right. I don't know how much you could engage with it. I know it's tough, obviously. I managed to get away with it, right? It's all right. Heather doesn't listen to this. But when it was nap time, and our boy is a bit tricky to get to sleep at the moment, so we had friends around and stuff like that. I went, okay, I'll take him upstairs and, you know, I'll stay with him, get him to sleep, and I'll make sure he stays asleep and everything else. The moment I got upstairs, plugged the phone in, WRC Plus, and I managed to get a whole Saturday afternoon in because I was trying to get our boy, in inverted commas, to sleep. Did you manage to catch up on much of it, mate?
No, I mean, I was away at the weekend, so I didn't catch up on a lot of the WRC Plus footage, but it's such an iconic round of WRC, isn't it? I think we all look forward to Finland coming around and the amazing shots it provides. And I think amazingly and unexpectedly, we did quite a good job of predicting Finland. So quite how we managed that, I've no idea. But it wasn't without its drama and provided an amazing spectacle, as it always does.
I think Trevor Agnew predicted it. I don't think I ducked out of making any predictions. I'm sure I did.
Well, I was saying the royal we between the absolute
valley. Are we just claiming Trevor Agnew's prediction as our own? I love it.
Well, no, I think we said that Toyota would be virtually impossible to beat, and they were.
Yeah.
So I think we can claim that bit. I'll claim my Robin Perra prediction was pretty true as well.
Now, obviously, people have listened to the podcast retrospectively and tweeted about this. Of course, you two are probably polar opposites of each other with regards to young Robin Perra and how it would pan out for him. Jack, you were on the button to the point where suspension came through the top mount.
No. Hindsight's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, are you trying to rewrite history now? Sorry.
He wasn't on the button at all until that point. He said he'd be going for a finish. He clearly wasn't going for a finish.
Okay.
Yeah. No, he went for it. Fair play to him. Yeah, I'll take everything that people have been saying today. It was a brilliant performance from Cali. But yeah, like I said, hindsight's a wonderful thing. And before, I stand by it, the doubts that I had before that event, because Argentina was the only event where he looked like winning WRC2 and he crashed. So there's a lot of drivers out there who can go quickly and win stages and perform very well, but can't hold it together for a whole event.
This is an interesting one, Jack Benyon. I'm going to ask Ryan Champion about this. Is there anybody that fast who can still go out and crash like that, right? I know it sounds like a really stupid statement in question, but do you see where I'm trying to go with that?
No.
Okay. Well, let me try and be slightly clearer on it then. Just exactly what Jack just said, there's plenty of people who can go out and go that fast but crash. Is there really a lot of people who can go out and go that fast?
No, I see your point. We'll not bring other drivers in for comparison purposes, shall we? Because otherwise we'll end up going down a road we've been down a few times.
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying, that how many people have the blinding speed but then maybe go off the road? And no, there isn't. There probably isn't that many, you're right.
Yeah. No, Jack.
No, I stand by it. I'm man enough to accept when, you know, someone proves me wrong. And Cali was absolutely phenomenal at the weekend. There's no doubt about it. But people saying that you shouldn't have been doubting before the event, in my eyes, are a little bit short sighted. It's great to watch someone succeed and do brilliantly like we did at the weekend. But you can't take leave of your senses, and you've got to go on what the information you've got at hand. And in my opinion, there's still a lot of doubts about Cali, and saying he's always had the speed, he's been competing in Estonia and all these kind of national championships without a relevant WRC2 benchmark. So you can't say he's definitely had the pace all the way through his career, because, you know, those videos when he's 7 or 8 were incredible. And, you know, I'm not saying he's not always been a quick driver. I'm just saying it's difficult to say he's always been a driver that is going to win in WRC2, because that's a very high standard category and full of a lot of very professional drivers.
Can I just paraphrase that ever so slightly and put that to Ryan Champion?
Of course you can.
Right. I'm going to say that Jack's saying they've picked Cali's fight so far.
Well, I know what Jack's saying. He's still got a lot to prove. You know, he's certainly got potential, but then so did Jari Matti Latvala, so did Andreas Mikkelsen, both who were in World Rally Cars when they were 17 years old. So not that Cali is, obviously, yet, but you know, we have seen drivers in top line cars, that's what I mean, at that sort of age, and show very well at that point. But then neither Mikkelsen nor Latvala, let's be honest, at the moment look like being world champions. So, time will tell. And he's got obviously age on his side. He's going to be, he seems to have the backing to build the experience. So, we'll not really be able to answer that question for another couple of years, I don't think.
Where do you think the cutoff is? I'll come to you first, right? Because Jack's just on a complete negative about this.
No, absolutely not. I admitted I was wrong. I took one for the team and I said he was brilliant this weekend. That's not being negative. But carry on. You're all right.
It's been defensive. Very defensive.
Where do you think the cutoff is for an investment in a driver like that? Because of course it is down to investments, isn't it? You know, I don't want to get too sucked into this, but it does come down to the fact that there will be a point that somebody will get to and go, right, that's enough.
I think it's probably about momentum, isn't it? Career momentum. And if, as long as that career momentum is sustained, then the investment will be there, because ultimately, you know, usually these backers are in it for a reason and they're in it to get some money back again. So if they still see the likelihood that they'll get a return, then they'll keep putting the money in. I think it's as simple as that. But like we saw with Latvala, you know, Latvala, his star waned for a while and then he came back again. And Mikkelsen, you know, very much so, well, two or three times really through his career. It's, they haven't always been at the front line. They've suffered a dip in backing, shall we say. So, like I said, I think if Robin Perra can maintain momentum, that's the key thing. What he doesn't want to have is a run of bad results. I don't think a run of bad results will dent his progress at this stage, but maybe, you know, a couple of years of bad results certainly would. But I think as long as he keeps showing speed, as long as he keeps building experience, getting faster, winning against whichever opposition he's up against, or at least showing he can be fast against whichever opposition he's up against, I think we'll see him supported until he gets that top line opportunity, and then he's got to show what he's made of.
Jack, we talked to Gus Greensmith, you and I, a little bit later on, of course, who got a fantastic podium in WRC2. But I'll have to say, hand on heart, the guy who won, Eric, I'm trying to think of Eric's surname now. I'm trying to go from memory.
Peter Einen, I think is how you say it.
Yeah.
Or Peter Einen. I'm not quite sure on the pronunciation.
Jack actually came in about 3 seconds earlier than I thought he would there. I thought he was just going to leave you hanging.
Yeah, I know. Thanks. That's what you do to me, Rye. I don't know if anyone's ever noticed this, but when I'm struggling and I go to Rye, he'll just leave me there. He just sacrifices my goodwill that I give him every episode of this podcast, and he just leaves me and hangs me out to dry.
Sometimes communication between Yorkshire and Liverpool or wherever you are, then it breaks down sometimes over the top of the mountains.
Of course it does. Anyway, thank you, Ryan Champion. Hey, Jack Benyon, sorry, we were talking. I'll be honest with you, Eric. Part of, go on, Jack, pill me out again.
Peter Einen.
Okay. I didn't know too much about him. I had to start having a look around about him. Obviously, you know, Yari Huttunen, we're aware. Obviously, we know Gus is. We know Callie Robin-Pair. Obviously, we looked at, you know, various drivers. Obviously, Lefebvre was there, and, you know, if we could go on and on and on. But anyway, where I'm going with this, but there's another Finn there that we weren't really aware of, and I just wonder whether, ironically, the Cali effect is almost suppressing some of the other young Finnish drivers that are there, who are actually on equal footing, or maybe even half a step ahead.
Yeah, definitely. Do you want to know my favourite thing about Erik Peter Einen?
Go on.
He used to drive a BMW M3.
Okay.
Which is not your kind of standard, you're looking at a teenager coming up in WRC2 now. A BMW M3 wouldn't really appear on any of their car histories, but yeah, used to rally one of them in Finland. But yeah, he's kind of come a, I don't want to say he's come out a little bit out of nowhere, but he's kind of had two seasons in Group N, 2016 and 2017, and then moved into the Fabia for this season, and he's won a few rallies in Finland and been pretty successful, you know, pretty quickly in the R5. So yeah, good to see him around. I think he was the first non-WRC car in Rally Estonia, actually. behind the works WRC guys. So he's definitely got some pedigree, and you know he's backed that up with a pretty impressive performance at the weekend.
You just reminded me of something. Obviously, there was a lot said about the guys that went to Rally Estonia, and obviously the then taking that form into Rally Finland. Of course, our regular Stato, of course, Gary Boyd always sends us information. He sent something over to me the other day. I like this. Gary did a bit of self-analysis. Bearing in mind what he told us last week, self-report, only two stage winners on Saturday to make six in total, zero league changes on Saturday, prediction accuracy downgraded to average.
What's Absolute Rally at if he's average?
Oh, I know. So, Estonia deja vu, okay, this is what Gary sent to us. When Marco Martin won Rally Finland 2003, he won the opening stage, only one other driver ever led the rally, Marcus Grunholm. The lead changed four times. Marco eventually claimed victory over Norwegian driver Petter Solberg. When Oitanak won Rally Finland 2018, he won the opening stage, and only one other driver ever led the rally, which was Mads Osberg. The lead changed four times. Oit eventually claiming victory over the Norwegian driver Mads Osberg. Even more Estonian rally deja vu. Oitanak, Marco Martin both led the 96 stages on both led for 96 stages on WRC events. There's a stat for you. That's a proper stat.
That is incredible levels of bobble hattery.
We've got nothing, have we? We've got nothing to. You just have to take a moment and go fair play.
Send that bloke a We the Terrors bobble hat.
You know what? He should get a mug. I think Gary should get a mug by default anyway. Actually, we'll make that happen. I think we should. Anyway, boys, we haven't even got to the main game yet, have we? We've not even got to the runners and riders of what happened. Are we parking the fact that we lay claim to Oitanak winning on last week's episode and actually just going to dissect the rest of it because Oit was so far kind of... To me, the winner was a cliche. This is going to sound Ryan Champion as Mads Osberg, surely.
It was an impressive performance, wasn't it? Did I expect that? I thought he'd be fast, and I thought this is his lifeline for his career. He had to show well. He's always been quick in Finland. He had to show well to stand a good chance of getting a seat for next year. Did I think he'd do it over the full rally? Probably not. Fantastic performance from him, and you know, all credit to him. You know, to fight tooth and nail right through Rally Finland in a car that's still, you know, relatively unfamiliar to him. You know, I have to say I was surprised. I mean, the mid geometry changes, I think, something that Chris Meek was asking for, and obviously it seems to have unlocked a little bit of potential in that Citroen.
Jack, did you get sucked in watching it? I'll be honest with you, I was rooting for him. I really was. I couldn't help myself.
Credit where credit's due. Mads was mega that weekend, and like Ryan said, I think a lot of that was born out of, you know, him fighting for his future career at Citroën, and you know, he obviously did a good job of it. But I don't know how you can look past the times Oitanak was doing on Friday. They were just absolutely spectacular. That really was mind blowing to see some of the times he was setting on Friday with the road position and stuff like that. I was just mesmerised by Oit that weekend.
All right. The reason why I said park Oit is because we kind of suspected Oit was going to go there, and we all said that Toyota was going to dominate the rally. What we didn't see is a Citroën coming in, and certainly probably not the Citroën of Mads Osberg coming in, and at the end of the rally, splitting the Toyotas, and especially going into that power stage with Jari Matti.
No, that's fair enough. I don't want to sound completely negative towards Citroën unnecessarily, but you just don't really know what car's going to turn up, do you? I mean, they're improving, and they're getting, you know, their baseline, if you like, their, you know, whatever their lowest performance would be is being raised each rally. They're improving generally, but you never know if they're going to be sort of rally winning contenders or if they're not. And like I said last week, you can never write them off for that reason. You never know which team you're going to get turning up. And you know, Mads was, you know, That rally didn't happen on its own. You know, that car didn't turn up and drive itself to second, did it? So Mads has done an absolutely fantastic job, and there's no taking away from that. I think a lot of it comes down to some of the stuff that he said in MN this week about changing the setup of the car and moving towards a setup that suits him better compared to how Chris would have had it set up. You know, Chris and Mads completely opposite in driving styles. So it was a lot of work for Mads to have the car set up. And, you know, when you're a third driver behind Chris and Craig, it's probably quite difficult to influence the team boss and the engineers to completely change the car to suit you. But now Mads has got probably got a little bit more freedom in that team. That's allowed him to free things up a little bit.
Right. Again, we just revisiting, looking at times and looking at where everybody kind of ended up. You know, another star of the rally for me was Hayden. I guess that was I find it quite interesting to read reports, and I'll ask you about this in a second, Jack. Obviously, of Thierry Neuville complaining or raising awareness of the fact that M Sport played. You know, certainly moved a couple of their drivers around, at different times to improve things for Sebastien Ogier. Hayden Patton didn't do a bad job as a teammate, did he?
No, quite the opposite. I mean, a very, very solid drive from Hayden Patton, and probably exactly what he needs, more from his own point of view, his own self-confidence on a part-time program. We've not seen him do many rallies this year, and that's got to be a real confidence booster to go to the fastest rally of the year and put in a performance like that. So no, he did a great job. I think, if anything, the problem for Thierry Neuville was he was so far in front of him that he couldn't help him. He scored the championship points for Hyundai. He did exactly what was expected of him, I think, and all credit to him.
This is Absolute Rally, powered by the Kielder Works team. Cordless tools tailored for the world of motorsport. Developed from hands-on knowledge that you only get in the service park, not the boardroom. The range of Kielder cordless impact wrenches are designed to be compact, lightweight, feel good, and crucially, get the job done. Kits are available for less than £160. Plus, exclusively for Absolute Rally listeners, use discount code RALLY for 10% off at www.kielder.co. Simply search Kielder Tools online.
Jack, we start to speculate, and I guess we already start to speculate, you know, where certain drivers are going to be this time next year. You guys have got a bit of a piece here already about supposedly Citroën trying to make some efforts into bringing Sebastien Ogier in inverted commas home, and then there's another story where we're reading that Sebastien Ogier is saying, you know, it's like going back maybe 12 months, maybe a little bit more, where he's making reference to M Sport being a private team and not a factory team, and he's fighting against factory teams, and we're not getting the speed that the factory teams have got. Am I putting two and two together here?
We always say it's never too early for the drive market, don't we? But I still think it's a little bit early for Sebastien Ogier to jump ship. I think he needs to see a bit more of Finland, basically. He needs to see a bit more of Citroën. Pushing forward. I think the biggest thing for Sebastien Ogier to convince him to go to Citroën will be off the stages. It'll be him behind the scenes having a look how much investment's being put into the team, how serious they are about next year. Are they having a third car? Are they going to go for the Manufacturers' Championship? That's usually a good sign of how much effort the team are going to put into their result next year, and obviously that'll make the car better and give Ogier a better chance to win the title. So I think a lot of what's to come, you know, if Ogier's serious, will be him going to the factory and having a little look behind the scenes. But definitely this weekend Ogier will be looking at it. The Citroën's finished quite far ahead of any of the four drivers. No disrespect to Mads, but Sebastian's got to be sat there thinking, you know, if I was driving that car, I'd like to think I'd be, you know, a little bit closer to Hoyt than maybe Mads would be. So it's a big weekend for Ogier and Citroën, I think. And, you know, I've never really thought about it before as, you know, something that could happen. But, you know, looking at this, if there's a few more weekends like this where Citroën are so far ahead of M Sport Ford, then, you know, Ogier will be looking at it seriously, I think.
Rye, what do you think?
I don't think that it's just Citroën in for Sebastien Ogier. I think the amount of money that Hyundai spend, the amount of money that Toyota spend, if Ogier is gonna move, surely they're gonna look at it again. I know Hyundai went on record previously saying they weren't interested in him, but they're spending a huge budget. Neuville's obviously doing a great job; he's team leader. But and likewise with Toyota, you've got Tanak there again after last weekend doing a fantastic job. But I still don't think they would rule out bringing him in. Surely,
I do. I think maybe Hyundai, but. I think a lot will come down to how long Sebastien wants to keep going for. You know, it's almost like that role reversal of when Ogier was at Citroën with Loeb. You know, would Hyundai playing the long game of having, you know, a Thierry Neuville in his mid to late 20s risk upsetting and losing him to bring Ogier in for, you know, how much more is he going to do? Another season maybe another two maximum? Or would they play the long game and keep the younger drivers on side? And the same with Toyota. You know, I think they've put their eggs in the basket now of Hoyt, and I think that'll, you know, I think Hoyt is very, very special. I really do, and I've thought it for a long time. I think whether it's this Scandinavian thing or whatever, but I think Hoyt is special. I think he's mentally a lot stronger than most.
Hold on, let me just stop you there a sec. Can we remember about a year ago when I accidentally called Tanak Scandinavian and I got lashed for it for about 2 years afterwards?
No, we'll forget that.
I'm still being lashed in the future.
Okay, right. Let me qualify that before. What I mean is you know, that where I'm going is kind of Finnish, Estonia, that kind of area.
That's exactly what I said, and I got laughed at to the trees. Ryan, am I lying?
No, I think you maybe took a bit of flack for that one.
Yeah, I did. I took a lot of flack for that. So, Tony, prepare to have that sent in your direction now.
Yeah, it's fine. Remember I said about time of the month thing, Jack? Yeah. Anyway, so where was I? I was in the middle of making a really important rally point on a rally podcast and not point scoring off my fellow hosts.
You were rambling a bit. You weren't really getting to the point.
Wasn't I?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, where I was going was that I don't think that Toyota or Hyundai would risk their number one drivers for one season with Sebastian Ogier.
All right, if you've got the money, why only have one top line driver who can win the championship? Why?
Because I think it's a team game, and I think Toyota are probably very well served. I think Hyundai's got the question mark. Just simply by, and I was going to come to this, you've led me quite nicely into it. Yeah, another really poor weekend for Andreas, and you just wonder whether Andreas, ironically, could we see him go to Citroën to try and get things going again for himself, because it clearly not happened at Hyundai.
He's the one in trouble there then, because he didn't leave, well, you know, he was choosing between Citroën and Hyundai and chose Hyundai, didn't he? So, you know, would Citroën want him back, and would they be, you know, after kind of being embarrassed a little bit maybe that he you know, tested the car and then very rapidly moved into a Hyundai as if sort of writing off the Citroën, you know, would they be happy to have him?
I think if he was available and all the other options that they looked at, I think Andreas brings something. And if he was available, I would see that as a very natural fit, ironically.
Do you want to know something probably controversial?
Go on.
I think I'd go for Hayden over Andreas if I was Citroën.
Okay, I can see that.
And Andreas has had a full year in this car, in you know, arguably the best car in the championship, or at least one of them, and has, you know, consistently underperformed this year. Whereas Hayden, who, you know, we know he's had a lot of problems and he's had a, you know, a very difficult 2 years, but whenever he's been in that car this year, the pace has been there. He's been blindingly quick, and, you know, sometimes he's not quite put that together. But I'd rather have that kind of searing pace from Hayden, and, you know, the potential that he's going to wrap it all up and have more performances like he did in Finland, and, you know, potentially have a subpar Andreas Mikkelsen who, you know, can't seem to pull things together this year at all.
Well, I was working on the proviso that Hayden would be staying at Hyundai, which is why there would be, you know, there would be an opportunity for Sebastian Ogier to go there, and obviously freeing up an opportunity at Citroën. I don't know, but that's kind of where I was going with it anyway. You know, I completely agree. Something clearly isn't working for Andreas. I don't think anybody's questioning. You know, you think about, and I think I said this only the other week, you know, you think about the amount of kilometres that Andreas Mikkelsen's done in a World Rally car of various guises is absolutely frightening. It's probably second now, probably to Jari Matti.
Yeah, I'd probably take that. Yeah, it must be.
He's been in a World Rally car since he was, well, competitively, since he was 17, he passed his test here and then went out and won the Quinton stages 2 weeks later or whatever it was. Right. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, he was driving Focus World cars when he was, what, 15 on the family farm?
Yeah, so, and on the lakes in Norway, yeah.
Yeah. So you think about how long ago was that now? How long ago was that?
I don't know how old he is now.
He's got to be 20, 27, maybe 28. Something like that?
I think he's a bit. I have a feeling. Where are we now? I think he's 30 next year. I think.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
based
on that, then the point I'm trying to make is that you think about how many kilometres he's done in a World Rally car. Yeah, I was born in 1989, so he'd be 30 next year. You know, it is second only to Yari Matti, and it's worked for him in most of the places. It's just clearly he is not getting on. We've seen this before, haven't we, Ryan? We've seen drivers not getting on with certain World Rally cars over the years, Group A cars, whatever, and then they've got getting another car, and it just happens.
Yeah, and we've also talked about it with these current generation of cars. Like we said, they do seem quite sensitive to set up to individual rallies. I mean, you know, I don't think, well, and I think we can probably include Sebastian Ogier in this now. Is there one driver who has been competitive on every rally for the last 18 months? No. And the answer is now that there isn't. And we've seen, you know, we've seen Hayden Paddon struggle at times. We've seen Tanak be up and down. We've obviously seen Mikkelsen, Craig. You could even say Fast on some rallies. Others he struggles. Elvin, we could say the same. So every driver does seem to maybe struggle to be a little bit more consistent with the setup of these cars than any others. Now, is it coincidence? I don't know. I'm not sure, but certainly Andreas, you know, he came into the team, looked fantastic, but just isn't putting it together this year. And hence that goes back to my original point. I just think that any team wouldn't rule out having two championship winners on their books if they got the opportunity.
There you go. Are we gonna talk about the other drivers? Do we need to visit camps? Obviously, the four drivers, Jack, both doing as they were told to in order to support team leader, both team of Sunderland and Elvin Evans. Elvin tactfully trying to not say what he wanted to say at stage end, but obviously clearly we could all see what was going on. Those boys had a difficult weekend because I think they were both relatively happy with the speed, but obviously they played the team game.
Yeah, it's difficult. You know, team who's not had enough rallies to be in contention for any serious championship points. So he's got to be expected to move over for Sebastian and his championship assault. Elvin's had an up and down year, very tricky. But you know, there's times where he's crashed or made mistakes that have dropped him down the order, and you know, he's also got to accept, I think, at this point that he's eighth in the championship, I think. So he's not performing to Sebastian Ogier's level, and if it's we're well enough into the season now that championships are very serious and are being looked at very closely, and Sebastian's obviously trailing Thierry in the points. So if I was M Sport, I'd have done the same. As a fan, it's not so nice to see. You just want each driver to be able to perform to their best of their ability and get the best result they can. But I can completely see why Malcolm's made that decision.
Right, it's everything what Jack just said there, surely that's what the sport's all about, and it's been like that for forever and a day, whether we like it or not. It's there, and teams will always move their drivers around if they see fit that they need to do it.
Yeah, especially when you've got undisputed number one like Sebastian Ogier fighting for the world championship. Absolutely, they want back-to-back world championships, and they'll do what's needed to get him there, particularly when he's main rival Thierry Neuville's having a tough weekend. Those extra points were vital, and actually in terms of the championship battle, it wasn't a bad weekend for Ogier, but obviously he wanted to be sort of three or four places higher up.
Absolutely. Boys, believe it or not, we're headlong, we're about 30 seconds away from going to any other business. Is there anything else, Jack, you want to cover from Finland before we move on?
No, I think I'm good.
I think the juniors, we need to just tip our hat to. I was trying to keep an eye on the juniors. Obviously, we had Callum Devine there from the UK, along with Tom Williams, both of which obviously had adventures, to say the least. But another Estonian driver, again, winning in junior championship, which was Ken Torn, who, again, I was trying to keep an eye on the juniors as well. And they were going at a fair old rate of knots, and there was one or two of them which I must admit I wasn't surprised to see some of the issues they had in the end, Jack. It was it was quite brutal on those little cars.
Yeah, good battle between Ken and Emil before the event. As I think I on the podcast even I said I thought it'd be Bergqvist who'd win, and Ken performing very, very well. It was a good battle between the two of them, and I'll be keeping a lot closer eye on Ken in the future, I think.
I think Rallying needs more Kens. We don't have enough Kens in Rallying. So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on him. We'll keep an eye on him. Rye, have you got anything else you want to touch upon on Finland before we move on to any other business?
Well, one little point, and it's Finland related, and one back for Gary Boyd, and I've no idea on the answer to this, but when did the top three finishers overall last be reflected in the top three of the power stage?
Ooh.
And it may have been the last rally. I haven't looked this up, but I just thought that was quite interesting that the top three finishes on the rally were also the top three finishes on the power stage. And I can't imagine it happens that often. Maybe it does.
Don't know. It's a good one. Gary will be back within seconds. In fact, Gary probably, we haven't even put this out, but yeah, he'll probably, the telepathy will kick in and he'll answer that before we even put the podcast out. But there you go. Right. Have you got your any other businesses ready, boys?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Would you like to go first, Jack, or do you want me to?
You can go first.
Okay. I know where Ryan's going to go, you see, with this.
Yeah, easy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. My any other business is Ryan Champion related. And the reason why it's Ryan Champion related, the little piece that in your brief section, and not in your briefs, Jack Bennion, but in your brief section of today's paper.
I know where you're going now.
Yeah, and I've also got this down as well.
The next round of the Scottish Tarmac Rally Championship takes place this weekend on the Solway Coast with an unlikely leader hoping to keep hold of his top standing. MG Maestro driver Ross McCullum is leading, but will face competition from much more modern cars on the 68-mile event, which also has a junior historic section. When's the Maestro coming out, Rye? Come on. Still competitive. It's still competitive.
I think Ross's car is a little bit more advanced, shall I say, than an original Maestro Challenge car.
See, it's still competitive. You're still complaining about you know, bits and pieces for the Evo and bits and pieces for the Subaru. Get the Maestro out.
I thought that was brilliant because I was ridiculed, various times for starting my career in an MG Maestro. And yet here we are 26 years on and it's leading a national championship in the UK. That's brilliant.
There you go. I'm just
I was still gonna sit gathering dust where it is.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. And just to add to the time, I tweeted out today. I found a result from the Pirelli Rally that Ryan and I did 16 years ago. It made me feel very old. I'm very depressed about how much quicker he was than me.
Was that for a Works Volkswagen driver?
Yeah. I have my moments. Yeah. I had the overalls and everything. Yeah. I used to strut around with the cap on and things like that. Don't get me wrong, I was shit slow, if that's what your point is. But yeah, I had a Volkswagen ran by Volkswagen UK. Sorry, Rye, what was your point?
No, I was just saying, you put a tweet out earlier pointing out that you were a Works Volkswagen driver, and that's what I was just, reiterating that.
Well, it was
for those that don't know.
It was a Volkswagen UK run car.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was run out of Milton Keynes. And I used to drive it. So you can draw your own conclusions. That's not what I said, but you can draw your own conclusions.
Sebastian Ogier, Jari-Matti Latvala, Andreas Mikkelsen, Tony Simpson.
We'll never, ever be smashed together in the same sentence ever again after today.
No, that's sad.
I know, it is sad.
I think you're funnier than all three of them.
Thanks, mate. So mistakes, times. Anyway, you're any other business, Jack Bennion?
Sorry, that tickled me, sorry.
Yeah, I've got it going on, what can I say?
Yeah. Very good, very good. My other business is a bit of a sad one because I don't think we got to do it last week on the podcast, but Jim Porter passed away last week, sadly, which I was very upset to see.
Trev did mention it in fairness. Trev's any other business last week, it did briefly get mentioned, so we did kind of tip our hats, as it were. But sorry, Jack, go on, carry on.
Oh, no, it's all right. I'm very, very upset that I've been very lucky to meet many people while working for Motorsport News, but never met Jim, unfortunately, and very sad to see him pass away. And he was a brilliant co-driver and unbelievable on the maps for Roger Clark and a big part of his many early successes and some of his later ones as well. So best to the family and a very sad loss for rallying indeed.
Very sad indeed. Very sad indeed. Nice piece that you guys have put in the Mark 1 Fiesta, which I tried to recreate that livery on one of my XR2s when I was very, very young. But still, there you go. There you go. Ryan Champion, you're any other business for this week, please?
Well, it sounds like you already know it.
I'm going to go Shelton Walsh. Yeah.
Only vaguely related to... I was actually going to start by wishing you a happy Yorkshire Day.
Happy Yorkshire... See, that means nothing to me, mate.
Well, you see, that's how gracious we are in Yorkshire, that we'll let you, you know, we'll wish you left-hand siders, you know, a pleasant day, even though you're
probably charges for it. Probably charges for it, but still, there you go.
Well, at least we won't steal it.
Oh, I see what you did there. But I will leave it on bricks if you're not careful.
Jesus Christ.
From where Jack comes from, you know, they're all very wealthy in those parts, so they'll just give us money for it, won't they? Anyway, we
get sidetracked. Are you going to do any other business?
Well, that was part of it. Happy Yorkshire Day. But no, it's vaguely Shelsley Walsh related, while I was cutting their grass for them. Has anybody
seen that?
Well played.
Yeah, there we are. There was a beautiful car there from Rally Finland from a few years ago. Actually, I think I worked it out from 34 years ago. There was a genuine Henry Toivonen Lancia 037 there, which was pretty special to see. And that sort of got me thinking about, I mean, my favourite rally car of all time, my particular one favourite rally car of all time would be Henry Toivonen's RAC winning Sunbeam. And it made me think of a Toivonen car. So I was going to ask the two of you. So one car, it's got to be one car from one rally. What is the most significant car to you in the history of rallying?
Dead easy. It would be the Quattro on three wheels going through Knowsley Safari Park.
Ah, yeah, okay, with Arnie Hertz on the back of it.
Yeah, that is literally from where I am sat now, about a mile away, where that was. So this was the reason why I am now. It was kind of one of the reasons why we ended up here, but still, I'm not going to say too much more than that. But yeah, that's not far from where we are. So that was kind of one of those iconic images, which will always stay. The Quattro, I completely get it and I appreciate it and everything else. And I get what was so special about it, but it's still not my favorite rally car, funny enough. But it was the one that really, really hooked me in. So I'd say the Quattro.
No, we know your favourite rally car is a Darien, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Yeah, because
T90 with a big wing, yeah.
Yeah, that's what you want. You
GTR.
Want a red,
GTR.
Yeah, you want a red top in it and you want a wide and loom out of a Maestro. That's what you want.
my car, Ryan, would be Colin McRae's 88 Nova.
Oh, cool.
Seeing that driven on its door handles really got me interested in rallying, as well as lots of other things from 88, including Pentiricola's Storion, which made an incredible noise.
Can I just point out, my mother did the 1985 RAC rally in that car.
What, the Storion?
No, the Nova.
Oh, right, okay.
That's awesome.
Albeit, I don't know how many shells it had in between, but same registration. That's was used by Harry Hockley, Chris Birkbeck, and then Colin McRae.
There you go. And what a nice little...
SMC livery, I think it was, or something along those lines. Yeah. It was three letters beginning with S.
A681DNT, otherwise affectionately known as accident.
Yeah. didn't that have a Webasto on as well and made sunroofs?
Well, it did on the Manx, anyway.
Yeah, no, but didn't he have some sponsorship from them on it? I'm sure he did.
Can't remember. He was, certainly the Manx rally was sponsored by Tudor Webasto at that time. Maybe he did.
Do you know what? Is there any other car? Is there any other thing in the car industry which had a massive spike, which no longer exists more than what some roof manufacturers had?
Well, I guess in a similar vein, vinyl roofs before then, which you'll remember, Tony, but Jack and I don't.
You're older than me. I do remember. I had a vinyl roof. I had a black vinyl roof on my master.
Yeah, but they're still in Liverpool, aren't they?
You make your mind up. Do you know what? Right, we're either nicking it or we're behind time. Bearing in mind you're celebrating Yorkshire Day. Let's just get our head around that, right? Yorkshire Day. How 1950s Hovis bread advert does that sound?
Yeah, I'm very proud of it.
Yeah.
Next question.
What did you
think of the hill climb, right? There's a little championship growing, isn't there, on this? And it seems like it's gathering a bit of momentum.
There is. So Rally 22 have organised like a mini championship, three rounds. And the nice thing about it is you can turn up in anything. You can turn up in your Group B car that you can't rally. You can turn up with your Group A, Group 4 car. So some lovely genuine cars amongst it as well. So, yeah, it's a fun weekend. Obviously, limited mileage to what we're used to in rallying, but very sociable weekends. And that seems to be something, unfortunately, that's been lost from rallying over the years that you know, the hill climb events certainly still have.
Right, boys, that's it. We're done. We're out of here. Ryan's got to go. The man from Del Monte says no. He's got to go now anyway. Hasta la vista, baby. Boys, we'll be back. Jack, are you back same time, same place next week?
Yeah, I've got an extended break from Roundy Roundy, so I'll definitely be around next week.
Right. Ryan Champion, you're due to be somewhere surely soon.
Well, I'll be going to various places, but nothing too far flung.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Folks, please check out, obviously, I don't know whether we're going to, do you think we should do some clues, or do you think it's too soon to do clues on what the car is and on the advert? What do you think, boys?
I think it's too soon. It's not that difficult, is it? To some of the proper rally fans that listen to this show, if they think about it, they'll get the answer.
Okay. The car leaving service on the Kielder Stings and the Kielder advert. What is the car? Email studio@absoluterally.co.uk. Send your answers in, and in a couple of weeks' time, we're going to be sending out mugs to you. How good's that? Right, boys. Thank you very much for your contribution this week and the abuse. It's duly noted. And we'll be back after this break. Jack and I will be talking to Gus Greensmith.
This is Absolute Rally, powered by the Kielder Works team. Cordless tools tailored for the world of motorsports. Developed from hands-on knowledge that you only get in the service park, not the boardroom. Kielder create products for their own use and like-minded people. Those inspired by mechanical motion and engineering. Plus, exclusively for Absolute Rally listeners, use discount code RALLY for 10% off at www.kielder.co. Simply search Kielder Tools online.
And welcome back to Absolute Rally. Have you guessed the rally car yet? If you have, you know how to get in contact with us. It's studio@absoluterally.co.uk. But anyway, without further ado, our man who was on Rally Finland, because again, I keep saying it, we always like to have people there. And our man who's obviously in WRC2 this year, Gus Greensmith, welcome back to Absolute Rally.
Thank you very much.
Right, where do we start with this one, Gus? Where do we start? Do we start with the Instagram post, or should we just go straight to the rally?
You choose.
We'll go straight to the rally.
I answer everything, honestly. So.
I know you do, mate. Good on you. We'll go to the rally first and foremost. Now, when you touched down in Finland, you had your test and everything else before the rally. Obviously, we know Christian works with you, he's there and everything else. But I mentioned this, I think, was it on last week or maybe even the weeks before podcast, that WRC2 look absolutely mega on Finland. And Finland is going through this massive spike. Now, Ryan did correct me. He said, no, Finland's going through the fact that they spend the money on rallying again. That's what the difference is. But the WRC2 entry with the amounts of Finns and obviously the Estonians as well, just looked epic. Now, do you have to work really hard not to be beaten before you start when you look at that entry list?
No, I just turn up. I looked at who I might be racing against, and then I just turn up and do the preparation the same as every other event, and generally it goes pretty well. So I just stick to the same process before every event.
Because I'm good on you. And is that something that you've had to work at though, or is that something that you've managed to carry on from elsewhere? Because to look at that, you know, they always talk about Finns in their own backyard. That was. Again, I think that, and I haven't looked at this, and I'm sure someone like Gary Boyd or whatever, one of our listeners will put me straight on this. I think that was possibly the strongest WRC2 entry we've seen from on a finish round with locals in since kind of Super 2000 days.
Yeah, no, it was a serious entry, and every single Finnish driver that was in there was absolutely rapid. I think the only one we didn't have in there was Nordgren. So yeah, it was definitely the toughest entry we have. And then there was also all the non-Finns as well. You still got drivers like Lefebvre and people like that. So the entry was just huge.
Of course, it seemed like the suspension problems were what kind of set you back over the course of the weekend. What happened there, and how was it different from your test? Because I know you seem to be pretty happy with the car after the test, and obviously it didn't quite come together on the event. So have you worked out what's happened there?
No, well, I'm back at M Sport tomorrow to find out exactly what went wrong. But the test, the car felt absolutely awesome. Like Christian was saying, he couldn't really see anything anymore. Well, obviously I'd learnt the test rule, but they said there just wasn't really any time to come out of the car anywhere. So my driving was clearly pretty good. The car felt brilliant. So I was feeling very confident going into the rally. And then we went into shakedown and it felt like something had been changed to the point where the dampers were working inversely, like they were doing the exact opposite of what we had in the test. So I honestly have no idea what's happened. But then we went through all the motions, shakedown and Friday, trying to get them right. And obviously we spent the entire weekend resetting up the dampers that we usually use.
Okay, it's a difficult one, isn't it? When you know your test road can never be perfectly representative of the rally, can it? Did that play into it at all, or did the test road feel pretty close to what you got on the event?
Well, we had 2 days of testing on two different types of gravel, so we had both of them, and we had the normal dampers tested on them, and we put them back on the car, and they felt absolutely normal again. So it wasn't the test road; we eliminated that pretty quickly. So it's just a very strange thing, and then the confidence was pretty down after the morning. So, and then obviously the pace of some of the Finns was just like really strong, and we could narrow the gap a lot to them, but we couldn't narrow it all the way. But then we had to change the approach and drive start and just drive smart, which is what I've done all year.
How do you kind of evaluate the performance then? Because for me it looks like you've had a really tricky weekend in terms of trying to cope with that suspension issue, but you still took a podium. So is that good in your mind, or are you actually thinking, well, if we did have the suspension sorted, we could have been challenging for a win there, and you've lost points. How do you kind of look at it after the weekend's finished?
I don't think a win was a possibility. I just think the Skodas were just too quick compared to everyone. No one. Could get near them, and I think I would have been a lot closer, but I still don't think I would have been able to challenge them. So for me it was always about getting on the podium. And then obviously if you'd have said to me after the first morning on Friday that I'd have been on the podium on Friday, I'd have laughed, but I'd have also kind of been unsurprised, because at that point I just changed my approach to rally. And this year what I've been good at is making absolutely no mistakes on the rally, not damaging anything, doing nothing, and just pushing when I need to. So at that point, I just went back to exactly how I drove in Argentina, just clever, smart. And obviously, we started making positions, and then obviously a few people fell away. And then we started making up positions from that, and all of a sudden, we were on the podium.
You mentioned there some of the other drivers, and Tony did as well, the how good the entry list is. How, in terms of the year, do you feel like having an entry list like that up against is helping to bring you on, or is it more time in the car that really helps you, or is it a combination of the two?
Well, the better drivers you race against, the inevitably the better you're going to get, because you have to push yourself that much further. But it swings and roundabouts as well. Obviously, you're going to have better rallies, and sometimes you just have a bad rally. For me, this was just one of them really bad rallies, and we just had to work getting the most out of it. So Portugal was what I would call like the kind of ideal rally. The speed was there, everything else was there as well. So, but Finland's one of them where it just doesn't come together, and you just have to think a bit like Sebastian Ogier and collect some good points.
I was going to say, Gus, it is a case of, I'm sure by the end of the year, I know how hard you are on yourself, by the way, but this is one of those ones where you ground it out and you got really, really, you got dream points. You would have said, you said yourself, you would have took those points probably on the Friday, maybe even before the rally would have started. So to grind out and get those points, you're third in a championship at the moment, that must be, you must take heart from that.
Yeah, well, to me this was probably my most well-deserved podium. At the end of the rally I definitely felt more relief than any others, and the Sunday was an absolute disaster as well. So just to get to the finish of the rally and keep the final place of the podium was for me a big achievement, and I was really proud of how me and Craig handled the whole situation and how we managed to change our mindsets and stay focused for every single second of the rally.
So you're back up to Cockermouth tomorrow. You're back up to Cumbria. What happens in those debriefs, Gus? Just give us a little bit of an insight.
You want to pretty much go through every single part of the car, what was good, what could have been better, and then you want to start looking at the onboard components, the data, see what I wasn't doing well enough, what could be done better, what was quite good, and then obviously you need to make all these notes, and then when you get there next year you need to revisit them, look at them again, and then say, right, well, this is where we were poor last year, let's focus on this for the test. And that's what a lot of it's about, almost preparation for the following year.
Wow, that's exciting. That sounds like you're going to be there next year as well, Gus. I like that. And why just read?
I hope so.
So, what happens now? Obviously, looking at WRC2 category, it's a funny, wasn't it? Because people can kind of dip in and out, and you know, it's a shame that you're not all racing at the same time. So, to use your phrase, but where are you out next now then?
Well, we'll be leaving for Germany in literally 7 days. 8 days time, and then we've got a spread out 2 day test over the weekend before the rally. So, yeah, I have. Rob Wilson, who trains all of the Formula One drivers, coming with me to a test in Baumholder, so that's going to be a huge help. And then I just need to make sure that I put that practice into put that lessons learnt into practice during the rally. And I think we could be really competitive in Germany.
Is it a case at the moment of the focus is solely on that? And is it actually, because we always talk about seat time and stuff like that. There must be party with times where you think, you know, I wish I had, you know, something closer to home. I could just go in and just keep myself max fit. Or do you look at it from the different point of view of you put all the energy into training and stuff like that when you are at home. So when you are away, you are actually on the event. Does that focus the mind more for you as opposed to just being in and out of cars all the time?
No. I think one of the biggest things that put me back in Finland, which we knew we wouldn't be quite as strong as we were in Portugal, was I hadn't been in a car for 9 weeks.
Wow.
If you look at people like Rovan Pera, Veiby, Huttunen, Lefebvre, they're testing almost every week. So it's just unrealistic to expect to jump into a rally situation again and be as seat sharp as you call it, like they are. So that's another big thing that I don't think helped us in Finland, but we just have to make the best of the situation we have, and that's what I've been really trying to do recently.
Good man. So Germany, we've been there before. You've got notes from there before. Is it just a case of sharpening up those notes? Or I don't know whether we've got too many new stages this year in Germany. Obviously, Finland had quite a few, or certainly older stages that they revisited and kind of chopped up different parts of it and stuff like that. Have you got enough to be going on with for Germany to already be working on this stuff?
Yeah, the majority of the stages are the same as last year, and the stages that are new have been used in 16 and 15. So I've driven every stage apart from the new Super Special on the Thursday night. So all I've done for Germany is memorize the stages without notes. I think that's just the best way to do it, just so I can take some information out of my notes and also feel like I know everything that's coming. So yeah, I've put a lot of effort into memorizing these stages.
Fair play to you. I feel like asking you now what's turn 32 in the 12th state, but that would just be harsh. So I won't do that to you, mate. I won't do that to you. Apart from the obvious of what we talked about before we started doing this section, what would you like to take from Finland?
Oh. I was about to answer that, but yeah, maybe not.
That's a trick question on Tony's behalf.
Yeah.
We're getting way too serious.
Maybe some of Jari Matti's coffee. That would have been good to bring back. Yeah. Yeah, there was nothing else that I needed to bring back from Finland.
All right, good man. very tactfully done. Well done, Gus. Well done.
Yeah.
Is Craig being all right? Is he getting enough sleep? Because that was the other concern as well. Now he's two kids in now. Is he getting enough sleep for you?
Yeah, I think he actually gets more sleep on rallies than he does at home these days. So he comes to rallies now for a bit of relaxation. So that's another warning for me, just not to have kids. So
there you go.
I'll take that.
To coin a phrase from Jezza, put something on the end of it. There you go.
Yeah.
Listen, mate, thanks for calling. I know how hard you're on yourself, but I got really excited when I seen the result. I knew you had a tough weekend, but all the reasons you said with regards to, as I say, the Finns, this is why I was saying this at the beginning. We all know they're in cars all the time. And I think just grinding these results out, I just think when you look back in the cold light of day, I think Finland will probably be one of your best results of your career. I really believe that.
I hope they get a little bit better than that, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean today. I'm talking to date, mate. So there you go. Listen, mate, we will catch up with you after Germany anyway. So keep a shiny side up, keep enjoying it, and keep working hard, and we'll catch up with you soon. Okay.
Sounds like a plan.
Happy days, folks. That was Gus Greensmith. We'll be back after this break.
This is Absolute Rally, powered by the Kielder Works team. Get connected. Check out the website, absoluterally.co.uk. Find us on Facebook, Absolute Rally. Follow us on Twitter at @absolute_rally. All the latest updates and news, plus much more. Absolute Rally, powered by the Kielder Works team.
Welcome back to the final section of Absolute Rally. I hope you're enjoying, by the way, the stings and stuff that obviously we're doing with our friends at Kielder. Have you guessed what the rally car is yet, leaving the service just after it's had its nuts tightened? I love saying that, I don't know why. But see whether you can get it. Email studio@absoluterally.co.uk and give us your answers. And as I say, the mugs that Dan that We the Terrors are doing, by the way, look fantastic. I seen some proofs the other day. And they're going to be unique. They're the only place you're going to be able to get them, and they're going to have our logo on, and they'll have Kielder's on and everything else. So please, please, please get involved with that. studio@absoluterally.co.uk and see whether you can win a mug. Anyway, speaking of mugs, seamless link there. My friend and yours, over now back over on the island, as it were, is Zav McCartan, of course, editor of Pace Notes magazine as well these days. Hi, Zav.
Hi, Tony. How are you? Nice to know that you didn't need a seance this week.
Yeah, it's very true. Very true. I think I'm all right, mate. I think I'm all right. We're working towards not having the epic podcast that we had last week, which I think everybody's still probably trying to find a way through. Well, they'll probably listen to this podcast in about 3 weeks' time because last week's was so long. So if you're listening to this in 3 weeks' time, let me know.
By all accounts, it went down very well. A lot of people are really happy that it completely accompanied them on their long journey to work.
Yeah, I don't know where they were travelling from, or they were going across the States or something like that. But you know what happens, Ab, and I'm sure you can relate to this when you put magazines together and stuff like that. You put out loads of feelers, and you work on the proviso 50% will come back. And then when they all come back, you can't say no to them. And then you end up putting it all together. And then all of a sudden you end up with something that was meant to be about an hour and 10 minutes. That suddenny becomes an hour and 50 minutes.
But it's no bad thing. It's never, there's never enough time to talk rallying, really, is there?
No, I'll have that. I'll have that. But speaking of which, that's why you're here. We've been threatening to kind of try and catch up with things over your side of the pond for quite some time. And the Tarmac Championship is one that we all get giddy about because it has such great events, and obviously the next round coming up only in a few weeks' time, which is of course is Ulster. But I thought it'd be a good idea to kind of get an idea of where we're up to this season so far.
The championship, at the start of the year, there was a new sponsor announced, and let's just say that sort of petered its way out very quickly and very quietly. And I think there was in some areas concern that the championship may struggle, or it may not be a big hit this year. And as it turns out, that sponsor has danced away to the darkness. And
I see what you did there.
The TROA organisers, there's a new chairman and Frank O'Mahony, have worked very, very hard. And just on a personal basis, I think we're having a great championship this year. Clonakilty have come back in, so there's Ed and Colette Toomey down there have come back and supported the championship as well. There's a few new other ones in it. I think in the events we've had so far, West Cork and the Easter stages in Killarney, Donegal, it's been very, very good. And as you said, the next roundup is the Ulster. Moved base this year. It's not based in Derry, / Londonderry, and that northwest part of the province, back to sort of stages that they would have used maybe 3 or 4 years ago. Based in around Antrim, and classic stage has been used again. It's shaping up. It's a battle at the moment now. There's drop scores to consider, but there's only a point between Sam and Josh Moffat, both running Ford Fiestas. Robert Barrable is there in third. Now, Robert had a fairly sizable shunt in Donegal, and as he admitted recently, it was 10 days before he realised he'd broken his leg or broken his ankle, but he's going to be back on the Ulster. Johnny Greer had a good run recently. He won the Down Rally.
Johnny, I noticed, it's obviously started the year, didn't he, in a Fiesta, which is really kind of odd, because I always think of Johnny these days, obviously in Citroens especially, going all the way back to the DS3s. But he's been running a Fiesta. Is he back in the DS3 now?
He's back in the Citroen. I mean, that car at the start of the year was simply because the new car wasn't ready. There were waiting on bits from France. And of course, you know, Johnny connected with Ray McMurray at Racing Rally. Racing Rally very heavily involved in working with David Greer Motorsport. Johnny back in the Citroen, as I say, he won Down Rally, won it very well, an event that the family business was sponsoring. That was a round of the Pro Tire Championship. It went down extremely well. You know, you then have Eugene Donnelly's out again in the Hyundai. Then you get the likes of Desi Henry, Daniel Cronin, Callum Devine, who had a great run at the weekend in Finland. And I'm a fervent believer that, you know, when the likes of Callum and, you know, John Armstrong, who unfortunately doesn't have a seat this year as such, but when the likes of those drivers go and contest an ERC event or a WRC event, the level of competition they experience raises their own performance up several notches. And we spoke about this, I think, in a couple of podcasts ago about, you know, when Marty McCormick and Dave Moynihan, you know, went off to France and the DS3 Championship. And I think that Marion Evans now is finding that as well. Sarah Williams is finding it. And Nabila Tejpar is also finding that to go out and compete in those kind of events, it raises a level and raises one's own performance. So, you know, getting back to the John Mulholland Motors Ulster Rally, yep, John himself, I think, is out. Johnny's the son, he's definitely out. So, going back originally, the Tarmac Championship, yes, it's in a very healthy state of affairs. That's the overall kind of position. Kevin Eaves is leading the modified by 3 points from John Bonner. Junior McDade is third. So there's a great battle there. Kevin Eaves again won it last year, and he's driving very, very well this year. Junior rallying over here, there has been some changes in the regulations for next year because we were having the case where there was 35, 40, 50, 60 grand Honda Civics running about in the hands of junior drivers. But it's a healthy series here and well supported. Speaking of support, Motorsport Ireland, they're no different to the MSA. You know, people have a perception that, you know, the MSA, there's people don't do things right. Motorsport Ireland, they're not doing their job properly. Well, for those who have an Irish license or are interested over here, Motorsport Ireland have a survey now. It was released a couple of days ago. It's available on their website to fill in a survey. And their aim is to bring back in some of the replies and collate that. People of the calibre of Gerard Quinn from Ford has tweeted it out. So it's people's chance to feedback to the organisers and team at Motorsport Ireland how you want to change your motorsport and where you see the improvement should be. Nipping back to the Troa, just finally, Martin Freestone leads that by 14 points from Maurice Meskell. So Troa, in terms of competitors, events, very, very good this year. Rounding up the championship this year will be Cork in September. CB Tool Hire recently come on board as sponsors. And then, of course, you have the Killarney Historic later in the year, which probably is the opening round of next year's championship. So, yeah, I mean, pretty healthy, Tony, in terms of the Tarmac Championship.
It's, I don't know what, it always gets me, of course. It is great that we've gone R5 now. I think we're big believers in R5. We talk about it all the time, about costs and everything else. But what I find really interesting, obviously, you've still got the older world cars there. Obviously, you know, Manus Kelly's still using, I think it's an 07 Focus. And obviously, you've got Gary Jennings as well, who's still out there. Obviously, they can't take championship points, as it were, but they can still put in, you know, they can still put in the times, obviously, and still win the rallies, which I think is great, because I think, you know, these guys deserve to have a place. And I still love seeing those older world cars. I had a coffee the other day with Neil Buckley, who of course, you know, Don Buckley's son, and you know, they're very heavily involved in running Focuses all over the world. And he was telling me about why they're such a great bit of kit, and why people still want to use them over an R5 car. And it's just great to still see these older cars out.
Yeah, and I mean, Manus did three in a row, as we spoke about before. We did a pre-Donegal report, or a preview, if you like. And, you know, Manus was heavily favoured, so was Donna Kelly. Donna went out very early in the event. But, you know, Manus joined Billy Coleman and Cahill Curley as the third three in a row winner. I'm reliably informed that car, I know the car has been sold. I'm told it's into Ireland. And I'm told it's somebody who really wants to win Donegal again next year. Manus obviously won't be driving it again, I would imagine. But we did a, the Pace Notes magazine did a catch up with Manus because, like most things, there's an awful lot of people behind anybody that goes rallying. And it was a real good interview, even though I sort of I said it myself. But off the record, there was, you might see him out later in the year, you might not, but he is working on next year. And what you're saying about the WRC cars, yes, but they're becoming few and far between. They're now beginning, if you notice, the same as anybody else. I mean, if you look at motorsport auctions there, the older WRC cars are now, in terms of value, raising a value. So if you have one, it's worth a few quid. And I think it's only a matter of time before the ones we're currently seeing are restored to former glory and sit in somebody's private collection. It would be nice to see everyone go totally R5 next year, and it would mean more competitiveness. But even speaking to the drivers who've driven both R5 and WRC, there's nothing beats the buzz of, you know, the WRC on some of the Irish tarmac, some of the Manx tarmac, and some of the other tarmac events that you get. There's nothing beats that buzz at full chat down the stage.
I think the other thing is as well, being, and again, no experience in this, so only going from what I've been told by the guys who drove them as well, they're a lot easier to drive than an R5. Somebody said to me, I'll quote, an R5 is a young man's car.
I've heard that, and I think I spoke about in car of Donna Kelly in Monaghan when I think he narrowly beat Josh by a few seconds. You know, to go in and watch that, sort of sit on his shoulder and watch him through that stage, you can hear the way that they breathe. This may not make a lot of sense in the podcast terms, but if you watch the video, he breathes when he can, and you can hear the effort through the momentum of his breathing, how much they're putting into it. And I can promise you on that last stage, he wasn't letting anything go to waste. It's a terrific piece of in-car. His commitment on some of the narrow stuff, where it's very easy to get a wheel offline and the hedge pulls you in and the next thing you've it off, his commitment, breathtaking.
Absolutely, absolutely. So Trower's in good form after, as you say, there was some concerns. But I'll tell you what, he's doing really well. Again, I only kind of get onto it from afar, and I love getting bits and pieces that we get. I think it's Roadrunner TV or something like that over here now, which is the station, which is next to Motors. It just seems to be carrying quite a lot of the Irish rally, and that used to be on Motors TV back in the day. But the forestry seems to be as strong as what I can remember it.
Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, the forestry here over the last couple of years has gone from strength to strength. I mean, it's quite well known that, you know, the forests in the north of Ireland and around Donegal, Mayo, Galway, probably aren't on a par with anything that you have in Wales or in Scotland in terms of like a Welsh Forestry Championship or the Scottish Forestry Championship or those kind of rounds. That surface that they have is much better. That said, Valvoline have put a lot of backing into the event, and we now really have a competitive Irish Forestry Championship. We had an event at the weekend, two events on the Saturday and the Sunday, and then a combined winner. And, you know, it's Barry McKenna leads that. Steve McCann is second.
How much rally is Barry doing at the moment, by the way? Jeez.
Quite a bit, in fairness. There's a lot of people out on a lot of weekends. I don't think there's a weekend here on the island that there's not something happening, be it a national round, be it a Trower round, be it a forestry round, be it a single venue event. There's one, the Shackleton, there's an event at Shackleton this weekend. You know, in terms of you know, motorsport and competitive motorsport, I mean, this is the place to be. There is something, a sprint or an auto test or there's something every single weekend.
I'm just thinking about, just going back to Barry for a second. Of course, he's doing the American Championship with the, you know, the older Fiesta, which is running the Focus World engine in it. And I was been doing some events over here in BTRDA on the mainland. And obviously he's still doing stuff back at home there in the R5 car as well. I just think, you know, he's commuting from New York as well. It just makes me think, yeah, I struggle to get across the pond to do anything over there. And yet there is a man that's must be, his air miles must be frightening.
Well, I mean, he's back and forward quite a lot, but there's you get to see him on some of the tarmac rounds, some of the Irish national rounds where the guys do come back and compete, you know, from America. Paul Rowley's a great example in his R5, the Philip Case run car. And we must actually congratulate Philip Case. Philip got married recently. So he'll be like the rest of us. He's going to have to do what he's told. But just wish Philip and his new wife, Claire, congratulations on getting married while I think of it.
Yeah, no, well remembered, well remembered. As ever, Sav, we always get sidetracked and time always kind of battles on. Did you keep up to date with your boys doing Junior World Championship? Obviously, Callum Devine was mentioned right at the top there, but obviously he had a character building event also on Rally Finland at the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the most perfect event for Callum. And of course, they suffer from, you know, running as far down the field as they do, and also the second run through the stages. But like I was saying earlier in this bit of the podcast, you know, they're going there and they're learning, they're raising their own level, they're being competitive. And, you know, when he comes back here and he's in the R5 or whatever else he's running, he's immediately on the pace. You know, a nod of the hat to Tom Williams. I spoke to Tom, for example, at Goodwood, and he admitted that, you know, Portugal had been, a disaster for them. The pace notes weren't right and they had gone away and worked on it. You know, he finished sixth or seventh, but he finished the event and said that the pace notes had worked, it worked well, they'd made changes. So, you know, these kids are learning all the time and it can only stand them instead for, you know, God willing, when they step into a bigger car, a better car, a car with more power. So that can only be a good thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, we want to see them do well. Of course, we want to see them do well. Because I know how much, again, you mentioned Tom as well. And obviously, I work with Tom a little bit at the top of the year when he went over and did Mexico. And, you know, we all know what his dad's done for the sport, you know, way back when, of course, with Richard. And obviously, what he's trying to do is help Tom do what he wants to do as well. But what I like about Tom is, and his dad, is that they're kind of doing it on their own terms. But they freely admit they exactly know where they are in terms of where they are in the sport at the moment. But they also know what they're trying to achieve. And it's, you know, they've worked it out per mile, what they get out of it. And that's a really healthy thing to do. You know, the amount of money that they're spending per mile is so, you know, it would be so much greater if they were doing stuff closer to home. And they've managed to get the budget together on a little bit of a wing and a prayer. And, you know, power to them as well, getting out there and doing it.
Yeah, I know. And sadly, some people perceive that, you know, they have pots and oodles of money to spend. They don't. It is, I know they're doing the WRC and everyone perceives that as, you know, the Holy Grail, but they are doing it on the shoestring. You know, David drives a van out, you know, it's cheap flights out, you know, cheap accommodation. They're saving money where they can. So, you know, hats off to them for that approach. It'd be nice to get them, you know, to come across and maybe do some of the Irish national rounds. So, maybe there's a few changes in the national this year as well.
But I guess we'll see. I know he's focusing on WRC. I do need to catch up with David soon. David is somebody I'd love to get on the podcast, but again, it's always weird when you get a friend on, as it were. But no. we'll see what we can do on that. Anyway, Zav, we're going headlong.
I can't let you go because we haven't covered the national championship. National championship, Declan Boyle and James O'Reilly are leading from Joe McGallagher and Donna Kelly. Josh is in fourth now. We should have had the Sligo stages, but the unbelievably warm weather we had here meant, first of all, it was postponed. Then it was postponed and probably delayed completely. But they have managed to shoehorn the Sligo stages in for the 2nd of September, which means that the championship will be complete. So I know that the organisers had worked so, so hard with the local businesses to put on a show and put on a display. So that event's going to run again on the 2nd of September, which is great. And, you know, that, as you know, is an unbelievably competitive championship over here. Get over on the Friday night, you recce Saturday, rally Sunday, and if you live on the island, you're home on Sunday night, time for work Monday morning. Great championship.
Yeah. That's the one that you keep on pestering me for me to come over and
yes,
do a round.
Yes, I do, you know, because I think it would appeal.
We're working on a few things for next year. We're working on a few things. I've got to go and see the team boss now, Johnny.
Before you go and see Johnny, I just want to give a shout out to Sarah McFadden. Sarah McFadden is a 17-year-old girl from Castlebar, and she made history over here.
Ah, seen the story, yeah.
Yeah, a couple of weeks back by competing in rallying as the first visually impaired person. She called over Dad, Keith, on the Achilles Stages rally. And from what I've seen so far and chatting, has boundless drive and determination. They were lying fourth until fuel pump failed. But, you know, credit where it's due. Sarah has not let her her impaired vision put her off completely opposite. I don't think there's anything she wouldn't attempt to do or anything she doesn't think she shouldn't do.
Fantastic.
But that was a nice little bit of history. 17-year-old Sarah McFadden from Castlebar.
I'm assuming she's already at that then to get back out again.
Oh, I think she hasn't pestered, driven, yeah, pestered big style. But you know, not a lovely, a really feel good story, really nice.
No.
You know, all the others that we've missed that we don't have time for. There's hundreds of stories, but you know, rallying's not too bad over here.
No, it seems to be. Doing very, very well across the board, and long may it continue. Just very, very quickly, obviously Pace Notes out this week as well, as the editor in chief these days. Nice picture of Steve's car on the front, by the way. I do like Steve's car, which is a wide track Micra. See, we all get sucked into the history stuff, don't we? We all love the history. That's what it is.
One of the great things about doing this is when you get it's a feature in the magazine called In My Garage, and you know, we've featured some lovely cars, you know, Barry and Evans Escort. But when you get in, you speak to the likes of Steve and you see the work and the detail, and it appeals to me as an ex-mechanic that the level of preparation, if it's not right, it doesn't happen. If it's going to be done, it's going to be done right. You take your time. And some of the preparation of build shots of this car from scratch when it was rebuilt, amazing. And it's a really, really good feature. A really, really good feature. Now, it's a shameless plug, I know, but I mean, if anyone's into the BMW M1s, Martin Holmes has done a superb piece. I would be a BMW M1 and a BMW M3 E30 person, but he's done a great piece on the M1.
You see, I'm not, but by the same token, I do love Martin's look back at stuff like that. I really, really enjoy it. And one last thing, by the way, and it's odd. Probably we didn't plug you this much when you were sponsoring the show, let alone anything else. But there's a really great piece, by the way, which I've already done a bit of first part of it. Terry Hanneman co-driver diaries.
I'll tell you what, we in the office, it's quite funny. Terry is old school and genuinely nice bloke, and Jonathan McDonald put this together and worked on it. He went to see him for about 20 minutes, you know, a nice interview, you know, job done. I think he was there 3 hours. He rung me up and he said Sav, this is going to run till into the tens of thousands of words. So we might have the second installment this month. It could actually run to another installment.
Brilliant.
It's not so much what you've read. It's the stuff that we couldn't write.
Yeah, I know that.
Some unbelievably hilarious, funny stories.
Brilliant.
Unbelievable. So, which would lead me to say, if you get to a Goodwood or you get to rallying, you know, some of the more senior rally competitors there, get talking to them, because they'll tell you stories you'll never see in print.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Right, folks, that is the end of episode 3, season 13 of Absolute Rally, and of course we wouldn't be here, of course, without the lovely people at Kielder, and please check out their bits and pieces. We've been regurgitating stuff, and they've also got a really good sense of humour as well. So if you've got anything that we can remotely relate to Alan Partridge, by the way, if you're one of our overseas listeners, just Google Alan Partridge, it will all become very, very clear. Anyway, Zav, thanks so much for joining us, mate. You will catch up again with you probably before the end of this season. It'd be nice, wouldn't it?
I'd be awfully disappointed if it wasn't. I mean, I tried to book 4 weeks in a row there, but you can't even fully book.
It always is. Listen, folks, you know where we live. It's Absolute_Rally, of course, on Twitter, facebook.com/Absolute Rally. All the old episodes at absoluterally.co.uk. And please, see whether you can guess the sound of the rally car leaving service on the Kielder Sting. Enjoy it, folks. We'll be back same time, same place, in little podcast hole next week.
Absolute Rally, powered by the Kielder Works team. Spread the word and download the podcast every week.